This is the Rooted Podcast, a conversation about the Christian worldview and its implications for every part of life. The Rooted Podcast is hosted by Steve Royce and Brady Johnson. Together, they have over two decades of experience in the business and tech industries and share a desire to help others filter all of life through the Christian faith.
Hi, and thanks for listening to the Rooted Podcast. I'm Steve.
And I'm Brady. And on this episode, we're going to be doing a deep dive on the problem of evil and a little bit into the free will aspect. So buckle up.
It's a little light fare.
It's been a little bit of a break for me, so I'm glad to be back and recording with Steve here. And he's been knocking it out of the park with his intro into the problem of evil, so really excited for this season. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's been heavy stuff, man. It's, I taught a class on this, as you know, because you were there at our church, and it's just super depressing. It's really, honestly, like, it's a topic that is really important that we get our heads around and that we develop a solid theology of, but to spend more time here than you need to. It's almost like this topic is a little bit radioactive. You know, if you get overexposed to it, it can be dangerous to your soul. Is a little bit how it feels. Like, just dealing with the human wickedness and all the examples and just terrible stuff that people do to each other, it can depress you, and it's like I said, it's necessary, but man, I'm glad that we're doing this, but I'm going to be just as glad when we are looking at it in the rear view. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, you know, on my end, I think, obviously we've talked a lot about this stuff over the years, and then, you know, obviously after your course, you know, even more so. But, you know, I think I've had a handful of opportunities to touch on some of these topics with friends, family, coworkers. And so it's been interesting to go through this material, because it really is that, you know, one, you're looking at really hard and rough stuff that, you know, is kind of hard to stomach sometimes and to think about. But it's super important. And, you know, I think it really is a pivotal piece when you think about your faith and think about Christianity in general. There's some important pieces. So,
yeah, I mean, it's where people live. Like you said, you had conversations with friends and family about it, because whether we like it or not, these are questions that just, they come up. Yep. And people deal with this. People deal with death. People deal with suffering and pain. And they want to know why. And they want to know how your worldview as a Christian fits in. They want to know answers. And so I think there are answers. And so if there are answers, then I think we owe answers to those people in our lives who are looking to us for some sort of comfort or guidance or direction, or just to help make sense of it all, whether that's after the fact or just as we're talking about life together and just doing life together. This is real life stuff. And so it just ignoring it, as much as it really is uncomfortable, it just doesn't do us any favors. So better to put our head down and just kind of put our head down and go and take a good look at all these different questions, because they don't, it's like an ostrich with your head in his hand. Like, they don't go away just because we don't talk about them in church. So I think we need to talk about it. We need to get more people on the same page as Christians, so that more of us are equipped to have good answers to these hard questions.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, let's kind of highlight again, obviously you have the three different episodes. You've got your one on the logical problem. You've got the one on the religious problem. And then you've got one on the evidential problem. So if you want to just maybe do a quick recap on each of those.
Yeah, the logical problem is basically it's a freshman philosophy class brain teaser at this point. I mean, you'll find it out there on internet land, but in terms of serious academic attention, it just doesn't get it anymore. And that's because, as we said in that episode, the logical problem is basically just this idea that somehow evil existing and God existing are just fundamentally incompatible with one another. And the answer that has traditionally been given is, well, not if free will is a thing, right? If God created truly free beings, and with the freedom to choose good also comes the freedom to abuse that choice and to choose evil, then God can exist and evil can exist, and there's no logical contradiction there at all. There would only be a logical contradiction if somehow there wasn't such a thing as free will, or if God was exactly who Christians say that he is, right? Like a different God who is capricious and sadistic could absolutely exist, and evil could exist, and there would also be no logical contradiction there, right? So it's specifically the Judeo-Christian God and evil that usually gets compared, because if we were just going to pull another example like from ancient Greece and say, like, no one's going to make this case against Zeus,
right?
Because if you read or, you know, study the history of the Greeks, like, Zeus wasn't a good guy in Greek mythology. So the fact that bad things happened and everything like that was kind of par for the course with the Greek pantheon, with the Romans, with the Norse gods. And so it's only with the Judeo-Christian God, with Yahweh, almost exclusively, that this gets brought up, because he is altogether different than all these other gods and goddesses and pantheons. So that's a logical problem. There's really not a ton to dive into there at this point. It is good to know about, because you can and do from time to time run into someone who is just studying this stuff for the first time, and they come across it and it seems intriguing to them, and they think they're onto something, and they just don't realize that this has been a conversation that's been dead for a while in serious academic circles. So it's good to know, because when someone is first getting into philosophy, or if they're into the YouTube atheist world, they might run into it. So it's good to know where to take it and kind of what questions to ask. But beyond that, not really worth too much more time. And then the religious problem is likewise just something that we briefly highlighted, basically that the idea of there being a good God and evil existing just doesn't make us comfortable. And part of the response to that was just to say that, well, no, it doesn't make us comfortable. Maybe that's the point. Maybe we're not supposed to feel good about this. And also, it's not just the Christian who has to give an answer. It's also every other person alive, right? No matter what you believe about the way the world really is, you have to account for why the same evil and suffering that, you know, is laid at the Christian's feet, how did that come to be on your worldview?
Right.
And that gets answered as many different ways as there are people and worldviews, right? So it's not a uniquely Christian problem to say, well, how does this sort of fit, and how do I feel good about it? And then that brings us to where we're going to spend most of the season here, is the evidential problem, which is more of the question of, you know, does the world and evil, the evil that's in it, make sense? Can we make it make sense? Are there rationally satisfying answers to some of these really difficult questions beyond just quoting a Bible verse, or, you know, saying some cliche line that doesn't help anyone? And there are good answers, but in order to get to those good answers, we have to really take a uncomfortably long look at the questions. And these are not These are not fun questions to deal with most of the time. But if, again, we want to get to answers, we've got to allow ourselves to be uncomfortable. So that's where we're headed, dealing with 9 big questions over the course of this season. And by the time we're done, we will have a pretty good answer, I think, for why God allows evil.
Yeah, I think so. And again, having a little history there, knowing where the course takes you, I think, you know, you're in for a treat, you know, as a listener. But if you've also, you know, gone through the Problem of Evil course with Steve before, I have a feeling that you'll still pick up some extra nuggets that will be good, especially in this kind of format as well. So I think for me, thinking through, you know, just these kind of problem statements, as I mentioned earlier, you know, having had a couple of different conversations with different people, you know, obviously talking about the evidential side, that is really where the conversations ends up going. You definitely end up going through kind of that emotional phase, which is, I think, where most people end up sitting is, you know, thinking about it on an emotional side. But once you get past that and you can get into actually talking about it and being able to get to the factual side of it and talking about, you know, what are these different points and can we spend enough time on these additional points to really frame the picture so that you understand it in its entirety, because there's a lot to it. So, you know, over the next, you know, many, many weeks and many probably months at this point, you know, we'll have some good deep dives as well. So,
yeah, I want to touch on something that you said there when you were talking about having conversations and that can be emotional. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what we've talked about before, way back when we did season 1 and we talked about evangelism and the different kind of practical tips in kind of feeling out where exactly someone is in the process and whether or not now is the best time or appropriate time.
Yeah.
And that absolutely applies here is there are, broadly speaking, 2 different sort of paths when it comes to someone dealing with the problem of evil. And again, this is review. If you've listened to every episode we've ever done, we've covered this before. But when someone is emotional and dealing with suffering that is immediate in their lives, it's directly something that they are going through or someone that they love and know and care about is going through, that is a pastoral problem. That the issue there is an emotional one. It's a heart-wrenching one, and it is exactly when we should follow the scriptural command to weep with those who weep, to bear with one another in our burdens. And in that moment, in that time, is when we should do what Job's friends did initially, which is to just sit down and shut up and to just be with someone in their pain. And that is far easier said than done. I don't know very many people who have been able to successfully pull that off because it is so difficult to do. But that is the appropriate response in suffering. And it's not to launch into some logical argumentation or explain some philosophical notion. Is when someone is in the midst of suffering, just be with them. Just comfort them and come alongside them and put your arm around them and weep with them. On the other hand, if we're dealing with someone who is not personally embroiled in some sort of tragedy or direct or immediate experience with evil or suffering, and they have these questions, that is when we can explore the intellectual side, the rational side, and we can say, well, it's a really hard question, but I think it has a good answer, and let's walk through it together. Let's slow down and let's ask some important questions and let's just see where this takes us. That is more of what we're getting at in this season and kind of where we're taking it. So what we're talking about, what I'm going to be covering on the fruit snacks, that is not intended to be rolled out when someone just experienced a death or whatever. I mean, it's just like, please, please, please don't use it that way. Because it's going to lead to hurt. It just is. So this is for your coffee shop conversations. This is for your small groups. This is for your college professors. This is for your dorm room late at night. These are the discussions when this kind of stuff comes up, and it's appropriate to just take a deep dive and to really, really step through it, you know, slowly and deliberately and tease it out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going from, you know, talking about the problem and kind of getting past kind of the first, again, emotional side of things. And once you get into it, I think you very quickly find, you know, free will is kind of at the forefront. I think it's where you start the conversation, where you started the podcast, right? So I think it'd be good for us to maybe deep dive into the different perspectives that you've covered on the free will side, and we can kind of talk about free will a little bit.
Yeah, free will is at the core of the problem of evil. It is the answer that has been given successfully for a long time. Now, that doesn't mean that every Christian really is committed to free will, at least not in the same sense. And so it does bear, you know, a closer look. And we covered initially just basically the three main categories that are out there of how different Christians have parsed this over the years and throughout our history. So on the one hand, you have determinism, which is basically the idea that God's sovereignty should be defined to mean that literally every single thing, no matter how insignificant, down to the flapping of a bee's wings or the falling of a leaf from a tree, that every single thing that happens is not only known by God, because most Christians would agree that God knows all those things, but that they would go beyond that to say, if they're a determinist, that God has ordained those things so that every single thing that happens, every beating of a fly's wings or what have you, is something that God has explicitly not only intended to happen, but basically commanded to happen. And that nothing that does happen is outside of that. In other words, everything that happens, God has sovereignly willed to happen. And that doesn't leave much room, really any room, for free will in the traditional sense, because it just means that people, while we perceive that we have our own choices and free will, we don't really. And this is, again, I'm not saying this to disparage determinists. Determinists themselves would say this, that that means that free will, as we talk about it culturally, does not exist, not really. God's sovereignty supersedes it, and that we have basically the illusion of free will, but we don't actually have it. We aren't truly free. Now, there's another position known as compatibilism that would try and walk the tightrope to say, well, we might not actually have free will because we don't have the ability to choose other than what we do. However, that doesn't mean that free will is somehow not compatible with God's sovereignty, in the sense that even if I only have one choice, I want what I'm doing. I desire to do the thing that I choose in that moment. And so I can still be morally culpable because I wanted to do it, even though I didn't have a choice otherwise. Because that's one of the big issues with determinism, right? Is if God is determining, like actually determining every single thing that happens, then how are people supposed to be morally responsible and accountable for their actions? And you get into some sticky grounds where basically one of the answers, and it's not a very, emotionally or rationally satisfying one, but it's one of the main answers that's given, is that you're responsible because God said you're responsible. You know, God treats you and is going to hold you to account for the things that he has declared you will do, including your unbelief, including your rejection of him. And you are culpable because he is God and because he says that you are. And in the compatibilist, you know, crowd, there's a little bit more nuance than that. And just to say, well, but you wanted to reject God. You know, you were Nobody was forcing you. No one had a gun to your head. You were doing what you wanted to do in the moment. And just because, yeah, that was always going to happen that way and it could not have happened otherwise, still doesn't mean that you didn't want it. But the basic issue with that is that it's more or less determinism by another name, because as I pointed out in the episode, there's a, I can't think of his name right now, but a scholar who just pointed out that, well, if my desires, if what I wanted to do was also something that God determined, then all we've done is sort of kick the can down the road a little bit further. But God is still basically determining everything that I do, even my desires. It's not like those are outside of God's control. And so he's still pulling the strings, and free will doesn't actually exist. The third option is libertarian free will, which is the place that I land, and just says that we live our lives as if we have free will. We treat others as if we have free will. We choose things under the impression that we have free will because we actually do have free will, that this is something that God has endowed us with, that he has chosen to create humans with. This is a capacity and an ability that we as humans possess. And with that ability comes the option to abuse it and to misuse it. And that the evil that we see in the world, the sin, the rebellion, is directly a result of beings, both human and spiritual, choosing to abuse the good gift of free will that God chose to create us with. And so we are responsible for what we do because we really did choose it, and we really could have chosen to do otherwise. And in the same way, God is responsible for creating us and for giving us a good gift, but he's not responsible for our misuse of it. Now, that gets into sovereignty, and where the determinists have a really easy time in terms of theology is with sovereignty. They struggle, I think, more with the free will and the moral accountability side of things. But the libertarians, on the other hand, we have a very good, an easy way to explain free will and evil and suffering. But we get into some stickier questions with sovereignty. Well, how does God know something if I can do other than what I do? And how does his foreknowledge differ from his sovereignty? And it just leads us into a little bit, a temptation at least, to say that, well, maybe God isn't as sovereign as we thought. I don't take that approach. I don't think that that's the case. I think God is so sovereign, in fact, that he can allow people the freedom to choose. And in his infinite wisdom, he's still going to end up getting exactly what he wanted, and he doesn't need to compel or to control our actions in order to do it. But that's something that we've covered before, the middle knowledge deal. And so that's a big overview. It's a contentious topic, and I know that there are Christians on both sides who feel very, very strongly about it. I've studied it enough to, I feel like, be able to fairly represent both sides and to make something of a scriptural case for both sides and to understand where people are coming from, and to just say, ultimately, I land where I do because I find the case stronger. I find it more compelling. I find that it makes better sense of more scripture, even though there are still questions that I ultimately can't answer and probably won't be able to until we're, you know, in the life to come. But that's where we're at. And so the big questions that we all need to ask when it comes to free will are, do I believe that God's sovereignty requires that he control or compel every action, every single thought, word, and deed that occurs? And if I do, if I find that to be where I land, then how is then God not responsible directly for the evil choices that murderers, rapists, thieves, all these different horrific things that people do to each other, how is God not directly responsible for that? If he has so orchestrated the universe in such a way that those people, when they are doing those things, could not have done other than to do them. They did not actually have a choice. So that's a question that needs to be answered on the one hand. On the other hand, if I don't find that to be compelling, if I really do think that we could choose otherwise, then you have to dive a little bit deeper and ask the question, then how exactly does God's sovereignty work? If he is allowing people the freedom to choose good or to choose evil, then how in the world is he still in control? He might know what they're going to do, but that is altogether different from being sovereign over where this ship is headed, so to speak. So everybody has questions they have to answer. And I hope that, you know, this discussion would encourage you to just look more deeply into those questions, to search the scriptures, to read books, to listen to podcasts, to do whatever you need to do to be able to, as Paul says, be fully convinced in your own mind. That would be the ultimate goal for us. Not to tell you what to think, but to just get you thinking and then hopefully lead you to more resources and study where you can really study and grow in your faith and in your understanding of scripture and of God and his character.
Yeah. And I think with all that being said, you know, the direction I think a lot of these conversations are really going to head is, you know, from that compelling side of the libertarian perspective where, you know, we look at society, we look at scripture, and we see the evidence there of free will being that pivotal piece. And so, you know, as we kind of trench forward and look at some of these topics in depth from myself, you know, that's the perspective I'll be at. You know, Steve had mentioned the same thing. He'll be looking at it from a libertarian perspective. And I do think, you know, just like Steve said, there you have so many more questions that you now are kind of held to answer as it pertains to these problems, right, from all the perspectives. And so, yeah, I think that makes for an interesting journey outside of, I think, some of the stuff that we might cover. I think we welcome some of those questions as well, you know, as you're studying it, if you do lean on, you know, maybe one of the other perspectives, because I think it does get a little bit more complicated to be able to answer some of those other questions. Whereas I think we'll probably address some of God's sovereignty in some of these other deep dives that will kind of help frame that perspective and answer some more of those problems.
Yeah. And to sort of double back on that for a second, one of the things you said just triggered a thought. And the idea here of that, yeah, how we're going to proceed is from a libertarian perspective, which means that whether we say it explicitly or not, every one of these big questions that we're looking at throughout this season, free will and freedom is going to be at the core of every single one of them. It's all going to come back to free will and human freedom and the human ability to choose to abuse that freedom. It all ultimately comes back to that. So if that is not a perspective that you or someone else shares, because there are, you don't have to be a Christian to be a determinist. There are lots of other folks out there who are. Atheists are often determinists, especially if they're materialists, meaning that they hold that the physical stuff of the universe and everything in it is all that there ever was and ever will be, and that this is all there is. There is no immaterial aspect to anything, including humans. They would say that we are determined in our actions because everything is basically just a domino of cause and effect, chemical reactions, reactions to stimuli, external stimuli, internal stimuli, that everything that occurs in your life ultimately is determined, just not by God, by the universe instead. And so they have similar questions they have to answer and similar issues. And so really it just comes down to, you know, for me, human free will and freedom is at the core of how I answer and approach all these big questions. If that's not you, then it just means that you have to take a look at then how do you answer them? If not with free will, then how? And, you know, there's more than one way to approach that, but it's just, that's sort of where it gets left. So, it'll come up from time to time, but I think for the most part, as we proceed, we're going to just proceed as if libertarian free will is just the only game in town, because it's just going to take too long to chase and tease all these different questions out from all these different perspectives. So we're going to proceed from a libertarian perspective on a libertarian basis, but just know that that's sort of there in the background as well. So
that's great. And I think, you know, I'm excited for the discussions to come. But again, also this is some heavy stuff. So I do hope that you'll stick through it. You'll kind of go on the journey with us. And next deep dive, we'll probably get into Adam's sin and how that affects us or suffering. And yeah, I think that'll be a pretty involved discussion as well.
Yeah, it's worth the ride, and Brady's been through it, so he can attest. It goes downhill really fast up front, but it's built that way on purpose, because in order to really, I think, be grateful for just what we have in terms of our salvation, and to really see the greatness of God and the mercy and the and to have the proper attitude of worship and gratitude toward God for what he has saved us from, we have to take a unblinking look at just who we are without God, and it's not good. And then to see that, to see sort of the unfiltered, naked version of just how wicked people are without God, and then to realize that you and I are part of that. We're not an exception. That without God, that is exactly who you and I would be. And then to realize on top of it, that it is from that perspective that Jesus was sent to die and to lay down his life for us. That while we were yet sinners, when we wanted nothing to do with God, when we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. And so that's really where we're kind of headed, is we're headed to the good stuff, but to really truly appreciate the good stuff and the good news, you have to know how bad the bad news is. And so it's not something that we are looking to glorify. I'm not looking to share things gratuitously. In fact, when I built the class and am doing, you know, and bringing things into the podcast from the class, I left so much on the cutting room floor that could have gone in that just felt like it was gratuitous. It was belaboring the point for no other reason than to just to dwell on just really, really yucky stuff for longer than was necessary to make the point. So that's not what I want to do, and that's not what our heart is, but I do want you to really, truly feel how bad we are. And to not just, this isn't just a wink and a nod kind of a thing. It's really bad, you guys. And it's from that place that we can really, truly appreciate who God is and what he's done for us and the salvation that we have in Christ.
And once we have these tools on our tool belt, and we've kind of tackled the hard questions and really taken a hard look at reality, you're better equipped, you know, moving forward, you know, for those future conversations, which they will inevitably come up. So again, I think it's super fruitful. And at the end of it, it'll definitely pay dividends.
So thanks for sticking there with us. And I hope you'll stay with us as we just kind of put our head down and go. It's going to be a couple weeks and maybe months where we're not going to pull very many punches. It's going to be pretty depressing subject matter, but you have my word that it will be worth it on the other side. So we are excited to be dealing with a topic like this that's so heavy because it's so needed in our world today. And we just are praying that this ultimately finds its way to you, and that it's a resource for you that you can use in conversations, that you can use to grow in your own theology and understanding of God and your own walk with him, and that you are more grateful every day for what we have because of it. So that's our prayer. That's our hope. And in the meantime, we'll be praying that you stay healthy, stay safe, and can't wait for you to join us next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us on the Rooted Podcast, a creation of Rooted Productions and an affiliate of the Oasis Church in Gilbert, Arizona. For more information about the podcast or to submit a question or comment, please visit us at rooted.productions. Follow us on Instagram at rooted.productions or email podcast@rooted.productions. That's rooted.productions. We hope you'll join us next time.